you guys didn't know that, I'm assuming that you're here because you knew he was coming. But in case you just wandered in here or someone tricked you into coming, hey, man, let's go get some hot dogs. And suddenly you ended up here and you're looking around still wondering where the hot dogs are. I'm sorry there are no hot dogs. Though, if that will keep you here for the next hour, we will go get you some hot dogs, okay? But really, it's just so awesome to have Bobby here. We try to get him. I think he's here almost every year, which is great. And for me, I grew up with the Bobby Martz experience. All right. This was, I mean, when I was this high, I mean, Bobby was coming to our church when I was a kid. And so for me, it's a special thing. But I think for you guys too, especially you guys have been around for a while, Bobby is, I think Alan encapsulates it well when he says, you know, Bobby makes me feel like I can do what he does, but then I go, but I also realize I need the relationship with Jesus that he has, which is a special thing. And I think that, to me, is among, you know, all the other awesome things that happen when he comes, that's the thing that hits me every time, is he really does walk with Jesus. And he loves his presence. And he's just hungry. It's like he's up here. It's almost sometimes like he's here kind of like for his own jollies, because he just loves being in the presence of God so much that he would almost just do this just because, as he loves it. And that is so contagious, isn't it? When somebody just loves being around God so much and it just comes out their pores and you just catch that. And so, Bobby, why don't you come up and do your thing. Make yourself at home. Let's give Bobby a hand and welcome him.
He that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And I don't have many teeth left, and I'm going to try to keep what I have without falling down and knocking them out. Good evening. How are you? I'm so hungry for the words. I've been chewing on my notes. One time I got up in the church and this is all the notes I have, and I pulled a whole bunch out, and I was going through them, and I like humor, and I said, surely one of these is anointed. But I picked some out, and Ron and I are happy to be here with you, and she's been not getting too much sleep at night. We just got back from the Philippines. What is that, about 10 days ago? And do you still have that whole row back there to you? But I told, well, okay, but I, can you hear me? All right. But I told her, I said, with her not getting a whole lot of sleep at night because of this jet lag and the change of time and everything, that feel free to just stretch out back there. I hope that not everybody gets that same idea. But if you, my babes, if you get real, really tired, you just stretch out. And I'll quote scripture to you, awake thou that sleepest. Thank you for turning that light up. All right. I've been praying about this time coming here. I'm so happy to be here. And I see different ones of you, Ray and Kathy. I remember that time when Ray and I were driving back in the car alone. He was so zapped by the Holy Spirit that he had a very difficult time giving me directions to get back to his house. I always remember that. And then sitting at the table, and you started weeping. That's fresh for me. Like, as if we're doing that. And we need more of those deep workings of the Spirit of God where we're broken and weeping before him at his very person and his presence. And so, let me look at my watch. Okay, it says 2 minutes after 8. I got this. I just bought this watch in the Philippines because I had another one that I liked, and it was always stopping on me, which in some ways I really liked because I could preach longer because it would stop while I was preaching. But this is working good. So, but I've prayed about being here and, you know, what to speak. And I don't know about you, but I want to really hear what God is saying. I'm not interested in just some fad that's going by and everybody's getting excited about this particular fad. You know, like every wind that comes and it blows away, then people get excited about this next new thing that comes along. So, but I have these notes written down. I want to go by these notes, you know, take note. But yet at the same time, I want to be able to tap in to the Spirit of God. Not that notes don't tap into the Spirit of God, but to really put the two together. But about being here, Rhonda and I, we always look forward to being here with you. And as you know, we travel so far this year. I've been to Kenya, Costa Rica, and we just got back from the Philippines. So I don't know how many miles I've been so far this year. I think 50, 60,000 miles or something like that. I think I need more confirmation if you think I've called a traveler, come and tell me. But in so many ways, I feel like a beginner, like I'm just starting out, and I have a whole lot to learn. And I want to have the heart of one that wants to be taught. So, you know, bear with me, I'm just getting it from the Lord. Can't read my own notes. Did I write those speaking in tongues or what? But anyways, just a few thoughts here. I don't want to sound negative, but I like to be real and honest to where, if it's very painfully honest and real with myself, and where I'm at with God. And if I'm coming short in some areas, I want God to make it clear to me. And also to do something about those areas. I think that one of the words that we really need, and what God's speaking to me, is to stir up ourselves. I can remember one time when I was praying, and I used to walk a lot more when I would pray back and forth in the room. And, you know, I would get that, I would call it the red hot, Pentecostal, if I can use that word. I love the word Pentecost. I mean the real Pentecost, the book of Acts. And I was walking back and forth, you know, and really, oh, my comb, okay. And walking back and forth and just really having, you know, praying with zeal, vigor, some fire. Hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Lord, stir me up. Stir me up, oh God. Stir me up. Stir me up, oh God. Stir me up, Lord. And just praying like that. You ever pray that way? And while I was praying that way, I love it when the Lord interrupts my praying, because there's times I need it to be interrupted with Him. And He said this to me. He said, stir up yourself. Because that was the word that He gave to Timothy. Timothy, you stir up the gift of God that's in you, that was given to you. You stir it up. You stir it up. And I believe that the one word is really needed for the American church is to stir itself up, is to shake itself loose from the lifestyle in which it is living. I want to make a few comments, and it may sound like I'm really bragging on me, but in my own heart, I'm not bragging on me, because it's not about me. It's about Jesus. When Rhonda and I first went to the church, moved there, and there were young men in the church. And of course, it's only natural for young men. They have this future before them, before themselves, and they want to find their ministry. Because I went through all that, you know, and in my zeal, I did some of the stupidest and craziest things that I don't care to ever repeat again. I thought, God, how did those people ever put up with me? Some of the foolishness. But you know, it's like when someone goes into the church, and Michael knew me, he had me speak in the church, and as usual, there was wonderful signs, wonders, and miracles. And a lady coming out of the wheelchair, she had part of her bone in her back, the spine was nothing there. And God created it. She's out of that wheelchair and walking. She could not get pregnant because of her condition. And she had a baby. She sent Rhonda and I a picture. And there were other miracles. A child rolled around on the floor because it couldn't walk. Something about the growth plates. And they brought the child to the meeting. And the father and mother went home, and they found the child playing and running around the house, completely healed. Anyways, that's just a couple of the miracles. And the young men and others, you know, Bobby and Rhonda moving to the church, and it's kind of like the new kid on the block. You understand what I'm saying? Michael, that's Michael Fletcher. What about this new kid on the block? What is his theology? What is his theology? Right away, they wanted to make sure I was correct, having correct theology. Michael told me this, what I'm telling you. And I'm sharing this with you with a purpose. And I'll tell you the purpose. And Michael told me how he responded to those that were asking him about the new kid on the block. What about this new kid on the block? What is his theology? Like two dogs that meet one another in the street, and they go round and round sniffing one another out. You know, let's sniff out Bobby Mars. Find out his theology. See if he has it all correct. See if it's like our theology. And Michael told me what he said to them. He said, fellas, Bobby Mars may not have the theology as what we would call theology, but he has the power of God. Now, am I saying that? I don't want to sound like I don't appreciate good sound teaching and good sound theology, because I'm a person, I like to be careful when I read the Bible, God's wonderful word, and make sure that the teaching that I'm getting is that it changes my life to be like Christ, to be Christ-like, to be like Jesus. And so these young men would come up to me, and they'd see some miracles happen, and they would say, Brother Bobby, or Bobby, let us have your anointing. When I was in Texas, one young man came up and he wanted my tie. I've never had anyone wanting my tie. I thought, that's a strange request. I said, why do you want my tie? Because he apparently had been to a Benny Hinn meeting where Benny Hinn would throw his coat on people, you know, and they'd get healed and fall over and get all those manifestations. He said, well, I want to be able to do like what Benny Hinn does. I want your tie so I can go up to people carrying your tie, and I would just go up to these people and go, and they would get healed. I have never had really anyone to have that kind of request. And I said to the fella, I said, you're not getting my tie. I like my tie. I thought it was so funny. And, but you know, people can go to people that are anointed, and it's like, let me have that anointing. And God has anointing for every one of us with our calling, no matter what it is. It may not be like another person, but He wants us to be anointed with what He has called us to do and not try to be just like another person. You follow that? And, but these, especially young men, I have nothing, I love young men. I'm mentoring some different ones down at the Manna Church. I love being with them. I love questions. Because when people are asking questions, to me it shows that they're hungry. They want to learn. Because I remember when I first started out in ministry, I was full of so many questions. One of the main people that was my mentor, he told me later on, he says, you about wore me out with all your questions. Because I really wanted to learn. I want to be a learner. And I'm still that way. I'm a learner. I'm always searching and within my heart. And how can I be better? And how can I be more Christ-like? I'm always having that going on. But anyways, they would say, let me have your anointing. But they would never say, let me have the lifestyle that brings the anointing. The lifestyle. I've been to conferences and, you know, the laying on of hands conferences. And I've had the encounters and the visitations. And, I've been up to Toronto where, you know, I got zapped. I could not see because of the glory of God, and thought I was going to have to be led by the hand back to the hotel. You know, those kind of experiences with the Lord. But that's had that back yonder. But thank God for that. And then, you know, there with the Rodney Howard Brown in those meetings. And I could not agree with everything he said and did, but I wanted to receive from God. But God was always bringing me back to this lifestyle. And what I'm going to be sharing with you tonight is about prayer. About prayer. It's very important. The lifestyle that brings God's presence and God's anointing. You know, we hear a lot these days that's being said about mentoring. Mentoring. It's really needed. You know, remember the Apostle Paul says, you have many teachers, but not many fathers. And there's a real need for spiritual fathers in the churches today. I know of pastors, they feel alone in pastoring. Like they are lacking in having someone to really father them. Someone that has the experience. Someone that has pastored churches and has been successful in pastoring churches. I don't want to go and hear someone share on church growth and their church is dwindling. Actually, Rhonda and I, just this past week, we had a friend that his pastor was going to a foreign country to teach on church growth, but the church was at about 400 at one time, and now they're down to about 75 or 100. You know, I talked to Pastor Fletcher about these kind of things, and I said, Michael, what would you say is the problem? And immediately he said to me, leadership. You know, a church can only go as far as leadership goes. I've heard that said years ago. But back to prayer. And I know it's not always a pastor. There's times it could be, you can have a good pastor just trying to pastor a lousy congregation, being frank and honest like that. I mean, I know people are really good pastors trying to lead a church on, some of you have heard of Keith Hazel. I have this tapes at home. It's called ABC's of Commitment. Wonderful message. He said, have you ever tried pastoring an uncommitted people? He says, I have, and it doesn't work. So we must all be committed. And you know, we talk about mentoring. Mentoring. I still need mentoring. I'm now 73 years old. And I want to be mentored. And one day, Sammy, Troy and I were talking on the phone, and Sammy was saying, Bobby, I would like for you to mentor me. So, fine. And these words came out of my mouth. I don't know, it was almost like a prophetic word coming out. I mean, it was not even meditated, it just came out of my mouth. And I said, Sammy, I'm being mentored by the dead. Now that sounds a little bit weird, doesn't it? Like, are you into the occult? Are you communicating with the dead? When you say that you're being mentored by the dead? Bobby, what are you into? What are you into? I mean, are you talking to the dead? Like one brother said, going to some of the churches, he said, well, I talk to the dead all the time. He said that. He was really being frank about it. And then when I said that, I realized what I was saying after I said it. I loved it. I love to being mentored by the dead, because I'm being more influenced, to be honest with you, by being mentored by the dead than I am by some of the living. And I'll tell you what I'm saying. Think of those that have already died and gone on, that still have such a challenge to us. The prophets of old, the men of old, Abraham, Noah, preached 120 years, 8 people. What a successful ministry. Wow. His picture would be in a charisma, you know, the message of the whole history of charisma. You know, read about this man that preached for 120 years and he has 8 converts. His own family. But you know, different, think of people. Can you think of people that you've known, lived in your lifetime, that have had an impact on you, that have mentored you? I can think of different ones. And is that Katrina back there in the corner? Is it? Hi, Katrina. You know, we love being together because we have some common interests and things like that. My wife already told me to be careful not to wear you out. And so, I really believe we talk about restoration, the church being restored, don't we? Restoration. Revival. The word revival means to restore that which has been lost. And that word revival is used quite often in churches and preached about it and talked about it and so forth. And God wants us to have a real cry of our heart for revival. For restoration, restore us, O God, to show us what He wants to restore back to us in what has been lost, either by the previous generation or the present generation of which we're living in. A real restoration. Are there things in our own lives that perhaps we have kind of drifted back and drifted into a lifestyle in which we are living that's not like before? And I like history. I don't get to study as much as I would. But in the area of signs, wonders, and miracles, I've studied, I don't know if I can say a lot, but I've studied and read, especially biographies of past men and women that have been used of God in the area of signs, wonders, and miracles. And most of these people that I'm being mentored by, they're dead and gone. And there's one in particular that has had a real influence upon my life, believe it or not, as a man that was extremely controversial. Very controversial. He had a problem with drinking. The man that he mentored went to see how he was doing in a hotel, and found him dead, sitting in a chair looking at the TV with vodka bottles all over the floor. That's how he died. I interviewed a man that knew this particular man in a very personal way. Cooked for him, did his laundry, slept in his bed, not with him, and traveled with him. Probably knew him more than anyone else. I can tell you the name of the man. It was A.A. Allen. I interviewed this man, and I don't agree with that kind of lifestyle of the drinking and so forth. But I was challenged by the areas of the prayer life. There was the fasting, and he shared with me there was this ongoing battle. Said that this man, he always pulled a little trailer. That's where he would sleep. And he said he would hear A.A. Allen weeping, just really weeping for the loss, for people that were suffering, cancers, terrible, terrible conditions. And at first I thought, I don't know if I went to even read his materials. But then the Lord reminded me about, what was it, the Pharisees, the scribes and those kind of people. He said this. He says, you know, what they're telling you is right, but don't be like them. They say, and they do not. In other words, they preach, but they don't practice what they're preaching. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll read the book, and I'm going to learn, even though I don't agree with the lifestyle, but I want to learn. And I have the tape at home that I've kept. It's one of my, those things I don't want to lose. He wrote a book that really touched me very much. Its title is called The Price of God's Miracle Working Power. And I got about the first two pages in the book, and I just sat the rest of the afternoon and cried. Because of the words, the soul life, dealing with areas of, you know, like pride and the self life. A lot of it was about the self life and how that this self life can keep us from the power of God. I was sitting back there really enjoying this time of worship, and I was thinking, our worst enemy, Bobby Martz's worst enemy, is Bobby Martz. And Bobby Martz, with the grace of God, needs to know how to conquer Bobby Martz. I said, all of us, we need to know how to conquer that self-life that's within us. And where there's such a joy of seeking the Lord. It's so, wow, like an addiction. Addiction to God Himself. If we can put it this way, we have a God addiction. Hallelujah. We have a Jesus addiction and can't shake it and don't want to shake it. Addiction, to be addicted by Jesus. And there's others. All these people that I've read about, and I was not so much interested in reading about the testimonies of such miraculous miracles. Awesome. Under the ministry of A.A. I saw a picture in one of the magazines. A man's hand had been severed in an accident at the factory. And the hand was created there in that meeting. I mean, there were such incredible miracles of healing. I mean, incredible. And others that I've read about. I can't remember where I saw this, but you've heard of the Azusa Street outpouring? I never heard this until in recent years. They had a real old couple that they taped it. And they were in the meetings, and what they saw happening in the meetings. There were people that had no legs. Legs were created. They had Some of them had no arm or no arms. Created, grew out, miraculously. So, you know, we're talking about signs, wonders, and miracles. And one of the things that concerns me is for here in America, as I travel and I hear people talk and I like to interview and find out where our church is at, where are we at in the area of signs, wonders, and miracles? Because you see, there's a lot of people out there that are sick of cancers. I think, is that you, brother? I mean, I've shared your testimony all over the country. And you all know that's the man's testimony. Without Jesus and his miracle power, you should probably be dead by now, am I right? He had the tumor, is that am I right? Was it the size of a grapefruit? Softball? That's good size. I sure went with that in my head. And you were losing your eyesight where you were almost blind, weren't you? Heading that way. And you couldn't drive the car anymore from what I was told. And you're driving the car now, aren't you? But you see, we have the God of miracles. If anyone says that these things were only for the early church, they're too late to tell me because right there's one of the miracles. Now, you can argue theology, but you can't argue that miracle. And I imagine the doctors were probably in somewhat of an astonishment. I'm a survivor of a brain aneurysm. You know that. Medically speaking, like you, I'm supposed to be dead. It'd be nice if they buried us side by side. He wants to go with me in overseas, and I want you to go. I haven't forgotten that. You see, the doctor told me that I was a lucky man. And I responded, and I said to that doctor, I said, Doctor, I live under the mercy of God, and don't you mess with me, because I'm hard to kill. We're under God's mercy. Now, you know, and I'm not able to share all these scriptures down, because like I said, I wanted to get up and just really, that's what I'm doing right now, okay? I want that God would, not that you don't have this, but to increase what is within us, a passion for God and for His glory and for His presence. Because as I travel in the interviews and hearing the feedbacks and talking, it seems to me in what I'm hearing, there's hardly anything said in pulpits. I'm not saying this pulpit here, because I said earlier, I really appreciate Pastor Ben. I know that he has a desire for signs, wonders, and miracles. I know that. But a lot of pastors, they don't say any. I've been told this. I'm telling you what I've been told. I'm sharing with you that we need to know the condition and cry out to God that God would deliver us from this condition that we are in. And to bring the restoration and for God to restore the passion, the desire, the hunger for God Himself. It begins there. For God Himself. For God, the depths of our great God. Not just knowing about God and getting some knowledge about God. I'm not satisfied with just that. Just going to church, to encourage the pastor, say, oh, pastor, that was such a good word, you know. That was so wonderful. And the pastor says, yeah, I took notice that you slept through most of the message. That happens. One time when Ron and I were traveling, we went to the church in Waco, and they'd stand and wait for a prophecy, and we were so tired, I actually fell asleep on my feet, and everybody was waiting for me to prophesy because they thought I was getting a word from the Lord, and the whole time I was sleeping. And then I felt kind of embarrassed, and I kind of realized what was going on. So it must begin with compassion. I was thinking about this today as Ron and I are driving up here, this thing, even sitting here tonight, vision, vision, vision. vision. You know, the vision, it's already there. I love that in Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, when Jesus said, it says about Jesus, he went forth, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. It's already there. There is in the hospitals, right tonight, there are people that have been told they only have a matter of time, and they're going to be dead. And people in their homes suffering. I want to be one of those that's able to go, and such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. A little bit of how this all began with me. I was in a church, and I learned wonderful things in that church. Winning souls, reaching out to the lost, and somewhat about prayer. But I was taught that healing is no longer for today. I was in the Navy in San Diego, California. And so when I would walk down the streets, especially the main street was called Broadway. That's where you'd find most of the sailors. And then they had this plaza where the city buses would come in, and a beautiful fountain and seagulls and birds and pigeons and whatever, and benches, and people would gather there and just chit-chat and talking like that. But also in that plaza, there were people with all kinds of mental problems, all kinds of physical problems. And as I would go to that plaza, I would look at these people and other people walking on the streets, and I'd find myself having tears, wishing that there was some way that I could help these people, but I could not help them. I was feeling like a sense of real loss and a compassion. It's a funny feeling, I guess I could say, to get. It's like, I want to help this person or these people, but I can't help them. And I wanted to help them, but I couldn't help them. Just a poor sailor. Couldn't help them. What a feeling to have. I want to see what was happening, going on in my heart down here, was a desire, actually, now that I realize it, was for the power of God and for to be able to see people healed and not be in those conditions for their whole life and die from those conditions, but rather to be healed, where they don't have to live their life with those kind of conditions. When I look back on it, I know that's what was happening. So down here, I was being filled with his compassion. But up here, it was like, these things don't happen anymore. So you can't help these people because there's no healing today for these people. And that was a funny feeling to go on inside of me. And every time I go down these streets and at that plaza, beautiful plaza, always that thing, Lord, I want to help these people, but I can't help these people. And then I would go to the prayer meetings at the Baptist church, and the men, they would gather down at the YMCA, and they would pray. And sometimes they would say things like, the early church, they had something that we don't have today, but we don't have what they had. And I kept wondering, what is this, whatever they're talking about, that the early church had that we don't have today? And after a while, I got tired of hearing that kind of talk. And I was getting desperate. I think one of the words we need today is desperation. I began to feel desperation setting in and saying, God, I am tired of hearing this talk of we don't have. I don't want to be a don't have Christian believer, but I want to be someone that I have to give to you. I'm not going to be someone that's just empty and have nothing to give to you. I want to be able to have, but first must receive from God before we can give to others. And I'm not going to give the testimony about how when I was filled with Spirit, because most of you probably know about it, because I was a very reserved type person and private person. I wasn't reserved when it came to sharing the gospel. Kind of a, I don't know if a split personality or what. I felt more relaxed among the the drunkards and down and outers, then I felt more relaxed among them than I did at church. Strange feeling. Because sometimes I'd go to church and they'd be mad at one another and, you know, some of the stuff that would go on. I felt more relaxed. I didn't have to measure up. Just love Jesus. I didn't have to measure up somebody's expectation, whatever it was. I just felt relaxed among the, among the drunkards and down and out, and you know, and I had wonderful friends in the church. But anyways, the Lord sent the fire and His anointing and that. So what I'm saying here is that there must be a hunger and a passion. And John Arnott said something years ago that I'll never forget. He said he felt a key word for us in these days is humility and perseverance. Humility and perseverance. And recently I had a dream. I and some other believers, that we were praying for someone that was demon-possessed. And in the dream that there were these believers, they said, they gave up because they could not get the person delivered in the dream. They just gave up. We've tried. We've done this. We've done that. We can't do anything with this person like that. And in the dream, I said, let's keep pressing in. Let's press in. But in the dream, they said, look, Bobby, we've done all the pressing in that we could do, and we're not pressing in anymore. But in the dream, I said, I'm not quitting. I'm pressing in. We should keep pressing in. There's never a place, I don't think there's ever a place of stopping in pressing in to the things of God. There's a pressing in. Let me see what. See, I started, I think it was 8 o'clock. All right, now, you know, when I got filled with the Spirit, and there were so many things that were so new to me, you know, when I got born again, I had to learn the Christian talk. Because before I was born again, you ever hear those saying, swear like a sailor? That's a saying. Well, before I was born again, my mouth was so bad, I embarrassed the other sailors. I had a very bad, I was a mean person. I don't want to get into it. I was a mean person before I was saved. I delighted, to me, I felt a delight in being mean to people. And I did some mean things, but I'm not going to go into that. So anyways, and then when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, there's this new language that I wasn't used to. Like, one day they're talking, and some Christian friends, and they're talking about being in a meeting where a bunch of people got slain by the Spirit. And I took it literal, and I thought, wow, there must have been a bunch of wicked people. God just came down and killed them all off. Well, that's one way to get rid of sin. I really thought that. I took it literal. You know, sometimes the languages that we use, don't ever use that kind of language. Inviting someone to me, hey, meeting someone on the street, say, hey, come on, I want to invite you to come out to the church. You know, a bunch of people, they're getting slain by the Spirit. There's so many things that are so new to us. And one of the things that was new to me was warfare, all right? And I mean, I got into this, when I look back, it was so out of balance, and now I feel ashamed of some of the things that we did. I mean, I'm going to tell you, we thought we were cleaning the devil's clock. I mean, we cast demons out of coat pockets and coffee cups, and we were very, very extreme. And one time I was staying at somebody's house, and they showed me the way to the bathroom, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I looked, and I saw this great big demon standing by the door. I said, oh no, I gotta get to the bathroom, and there's a demon by the door. And I rebuked, and I repented, and I bound, and everything you could think of, and the demon went leaving. I thought, well, maybe I can outrun the demon. I ran as fast as I could through the door, and did the necessities of life, and I came back and jumped in bed, and I said, I'm going to turn the light on, and I did. And what was by the door was a coat hanger, someone's big black coat hanging there. So that coat was really sanctified after I got done rebuking. You know, so there's things that we go through. And now, like when we have crusades, then Sunday night, I'm going to share more report about Costa Rica. It was so wonderful what God did there. And share just a few scriptures in closing. And I guess I could call it praying heaven down. Praying the power of God down. Now, we have the power of God within us. But there's this thing of the visitations. We need the visitations of the Lord. Those visitations. Those times of refreshing. You know, we need teaching. The Costa Rica used to say, teaching, that takes you to the steakhouse. But the refreshing, that's where you pull up for just a quick refreshing. Like maybe, you know, a quick snack. We need those. One day someone says, well, you know, those visitations, there's not all that much to it and so forth. So my response was this. You know, a shower doesn't take that long, but you try going without one. And in other words, we need those times, don't we? Those times of real refreshing where, I mean, there are people that have been really refreshed by God and visited by God. And it came out of a hunger. Like, I've been to meetings like, y'all come up, we're going to have laying on hands and, you know, and people getting zapped and all the manifestations and so forth. But I've gone through that, experienced that, and I'm not against that. But recently I said, Lord, what conference can I go to? I'm desperate for you. What conference? Where can I go? You know what the Lord said to me? He says, son, you get so desperate before me. Son, I want you. It's not just a geographical location. Son, get desperate. And I'll go to conferences. You know, I'm praying about some that I'd like to go to. Been to different places and visited by the Lord. I believe what I'm saying tonight is we need desperation. Hunger, humility, brokenness, and above all, a real passion that Jesus Christ is the one. It's about Him and others and not us. So anyway, one day, Pastor Fletcher and I were in his office and talking about prayer. And we both agreed that we need to pray heaven down. You understand that? We've all been in meetings and we go home and say, wow, heaven came down last night. Wow. People were dancing. People are just rejoicing. And that doesn't mean that is to so overshadow a meeting where that's not happening. We need those quiet times. We need that deep settling of the Holy Spirit. But we also need those times where there's real, you know what I'm saying? Jubilation and it's just different. You know, I have those times going along and said, Lord, I'm so empty. I feel dry. One time, the Lord asked me this question, serious question. He says, if I stopped using you in every way, never answered prayer, no more manifestations. In other words, just as dry and empty as can be. And the question the Lord said to me, would you still worship me? He was wanting to find out where I was at. And then it was right after that, I had the brain aneurysm. Shortly after that word. And how long did I go around? It was something like about 2 years, wasn't it? 2 years, I didn't experience anything emotionally. I didn't even experience the emotional love that I would have for my own wife and family. Just nothing. Nothing. But yet, to rejoice and to worship the Lord. And then one day I was walking along in our house, just walking along, and all of a sudden, God came down. God knows His timing to visit us in those powerful visitations. I believe the Church of America needs some powerful visitations. And in just a minute, I'm going to share with you a powerful visitation I had from the Lord, and maybe one dream. There's a scripture that I pray quite often, especially crusades and church meetings, and as we travel around the country. In Zechariah chapter 10, around verse 1, it says, "Ask ye of the Lord," verse 1, Zechariah, "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the rain." And He made the promise. That is a powerful verse. You know, the farmer can have the best equipment, the best help, the best soil, the best of everything. And that farmer knows if he doesn't have any rain, he has nothing. And we in churches, we can have what seems to be the best of everything. We could feel like, if I put it this way, the best of theology. And again, I appreciate good sound theology. I believe that the man of church has good sound theology. That's why one of the reasons why Rhonda and I are there. And a church with a vision. A lot of really good things. We love being there. But we need the visitation. And that, I grew up on a farm. And when we would go out into the fields and stand out there and look around at the crops, we go, wow, we need some rain. Where does that come from up there? There are a lot of churches across the country, including pastors, they're wilting. It's like a bunch of just wilted plants, wilting. Need the rain from above. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I did a little bit of study on this. Also talks about these bright clouds and the lightning striking. Those powerful striking visitations of God. The cloud of His presence with the children of Israel in the Old Testament. There was that cloud of His presence, the cloud of His glory that really sustained them and went with them as they traveled. We need that. Not that we necessarily see a cloud, but we need the Holy Spirit with us, speaking to us, intimacy with the Holy Spirit, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And I pray this quite often. Whatever ministry you have, pray this scripture over your life. And like in the Philippines, I remember one meeting that they had about 25, I think it was you, Ben, I was sharing it. In one of the crusades, they had about 25 crippled people lined up across the front. I mean, they were really crippled. They weren't just someone with a little stub toe or ingrown toe. Now we call them crippled. Their friends and loved ones were holding them up under their armpits because they could not walk. About 25, holding them up. One was a little girl. I did not see it, but Don Bradley, who was a pastor, he's with Jesus now, he told me what he saw happening. He told me, he said, "Bobby, I saw the father and mother bringing that little girl into the meeting. Both arms and legs were like lifeless rope, just hanging, nothing, just lifeless." And then when we would speak that word of healing, in the name of Jesus Christ, cripples be healed. Walk in the name of Jesus. Command these spirits and infirmities come out of these arms and legs, out of these bodies. And when that word was spoken, it was like God had a string and pulled. cloud to be released. That cloud of His power, of His presence, His glory. And all 25 of those people walked instantly. Oh, there was so much weeping. They were walking. Their loved ones, their fathers and mothers and brothers, they're crying, just really weeping. And my friend, Ron, and our friend, Don Brady, he told me what he saw. Because I was looking over here, you know, what God was doing over here, and so I didn't see what was going over here. But he told me, he said, Bobby, I saw it with my own eyes. That little girl, lifeless arms, lifeless legs. He said, it was like as if a bolt of lightning jolted her body. He said, her little body went like that, and up went her arms. And she was walking. Walking. Because the Holy Spirit falling like that. It's so wonderful when God comes in like that. Sunday night, I'll be sharing about Costa Rica. It was a very difficult place. And what God did there. They are so stirred up down there among the pastors. They want to go to the bullfighting arena. So excited. God that came on the scene. Remember the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come. Remember that? The Lord's Prayer. Wow. You know, that's more than just some nice words to put on the wall as part of a decoration of the house. That the Lord's Prayer is so powerful. Thy kingdom come. Remember, Jesus said when a demon has come out of a person is cast out, the kingdom of God is come. When there's that deliverance. You know, it's more than just someone being delivered from a demon, deliverance, but it's what's happening. That kingdom of God has come. Remember, Paul said to the Romans, I believe it was Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Oh, it's so wonderful to be in places. And you see, especially like when we go overseas and places where people are so sad and demon-possessed and witchcraft stuff that goes on in their lives. Like in Costa Rica, there's one woman, she was so depressed, no smile. You did not even need to have any gift of discerning the spirits to see that she really needed help. Guess what? Jesus came on the scene, and oh, she was so happy. And the smile on her face because of Jesus. The kingdom of God had come to her. Oh, isn't it wonderful, this kingdom of God that we're in? And remember, I believe it was 1 Corinthians chapter 4, or was it 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, when the Apostle Paul said this, the kingdom of God is not just in word only, but in power. Permit me to say it this way, the kingdom of God is not just in theology, but it's in power. See, when Jesus came, there was theology. There were doctors of the law. The religious system. There were those that they could quote whole chapters of the Old Testament. They were no little guy when it comes to knowing scriptures. Theology of among the Jews. See, when Jesus came, He would see the people and He was so moved with compassion and He healed their sick. There's more scriptures. I've been thinking maybe I've made some CDs at home and stuff, and I've been thinking I should probably make some more. And Brother Ray and Kathy, I'm going to be starting our small group on June 12th. I think I've said enough scriptures there. There's more I have, but I've learned not to share all of it because I get this other stuff, you know, which I love getting. It's just, it was prophesied over me that I would move that way, and I wanted to be able to, I had some of that pride. I wanted to get up there, you know, and have the real nice layout, the nice, You know what I mean? Everything's so in order, the teaching is so impressive, you know, like that. Let me impress you with my nice notes, you know. I've got it all really laid out. Wow. And I think that's wonderful. I enjoy that type of thing, but for me, it doesn't work. And besides, one day the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, son, I have not called you to impress others, but to be my expression. It's so easy if, Brother Ray, Sister Kathy, if we're not careful, it's so easy if we're not careful to get under the pressure and speaking before people as I'm speaking to impress people. Because it's like people are sitting out there, I'm not saying you're doing this, but it's like, impress us, brother. Impress us. And if you don't impress us, we're out of here. And it's so easy, if we're not careful, to come under that thing, to impress others. And it's not about you and I, it's about Jesus. To be his expression of who he is, from deep within. I love that. I'm happy with that. Just that he came to me as such a mean person, did not even believe in the existence of God, and the kind of life that I was in horrible pits, called me, bring me out of that horrible pit, and give me such a wonderful wife and children that love the Lord. We just want to be his expression and be happy with that, isn't it? Okay, so closing with a couple of dreams. Maybe I should just tell you the one. I can tell the other one later. Well, actually, it wasn't a dream. It was a visitation of the Lord. I may have shared this with you before, but repeat doesn't hurt. Because the Lord repeats to me, and I'm glad for it. He said, son, I want you to remember what I did. Don't forget that. God would tell the children of Israel, remember in the Old Testament? Take them back to those old landmarks. You remember. You remember the bondage that you were in Egypt. You remember the hard and difficult life that you had. And you remember the great deliverance that I brought to you. And what I'm bringing you into. Not just deliverance from, but into. And this visitation, is, for me, it's impacted me. I was awakened by the audible voice of God. Not something, I wasn't imagining something. I was hearing the audible voice of God. It was as if someone, it was someone, God. You ever have anyone to walk into your room while you're sleeping and wake you up? That's the way it was with God and I, all right? Like God just did. I don't know how he got in there, through the door, through the window, or down to the roof or what, but he got in there. And I'm not going to try to figure out how he came in there. All I know is he got in there. And when I opened my eyes, I could not see anything of the in the room. None of the pictures, the decorations, and the furniture. I couldn't see anything. All I could see was this brilliant glory of God. It was kind of a sort of a yellowish, maybe it's what we call it, that amber light. I knew it was the glory of God. And I was experiencing all through my whole being. Maybe I could use the expression high voltage. I love using that. Talking about God. I believe on the day of Pentecost, they got the high voltage of heaven. I don't want the real low voltage. I want the high voltage that will so change me, so impact me, to become radical. I don't know how radical I am. I don't know. But anyways, it was this, like, Ben, and God was speaking in this audible voice, and he was saying, this is what he said to me, coordinated prayer and fasting brings forth his glory, his power, and his presence. And as God was speaking this to me about this coordinated prayer and fasting, he said, this is what will be taking place all across America. And I saw many churches all over America that were just, they were dead, twice dead. They were dead, dead. No apostle, no prophet, no one could do anything for them. They tried and they couldn't do anything. It was only God could do it. Sovereign visitation of God. And that's happened in different places. They were so dead, suddenly God would just come down. And so when I see in all these churches, they were so dead, all of a sudden there's this tremendous spirit of glory and power and presence of God that was a result of coordinated prayer and fasting. And there was all kinds of tremendous miracles taking place. Signs and wonders, powerful miracles, crippled people being healed, blind eyes opening up. Within churches, people coming together. It was in such a powerful way, it seemed like as if it was a normal thing. But before Jesus returns, the powerful visitation of God. And I know that I'm not trying to advocate that every Sunday that we come together, we're going to come in here, we're going to be so zapped, it's kind of like, I don't know how God's going to do it, how often it will last, and what. All I know is God is going to visit us. But we need also now not get into this thing, someday out there, I think in some of the prophetic movements, what concerns me is there's a lot of prophesying that someday, you know what I mean? So now, I'm going to move it now. I'm going to be living in now in prophecy and having prophecy fulfilled in my own personal life as what's been prophesied to me years ago. You understand what I'm saying? Where I'm not always somehow living in some kind of a spiritual fantasy, but the reality of moving in God now. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One time I was in a meeting, and a prophet, he was up there, he was really accurate. And I tell you, he was calling people out and prophesying them, and I knew the people. I said, this guy, he has the word of the Lord, and he's not missing it. He's got it. Hitting the mark, right? He's hitting. And it's so easy without realizing it. I was kind of like a dog before the ham bone. I was just drooling for that man to prophesy over me. Have you ever been like that at me? I was. I was sitting there going, God, I hope he calls me out. I hope he calls me out. I hope he prophesies over me. Because he's really accurate. He's really a true prophet of the Lord. I was sitting there, God having to call me out. And then as I was sitting there, the Lord spoke this word to my heart. And the Lord said, I've already given you a word. What are you doing with it? So, it's time for me to stop. I've been looking at my watch. Watch and pray. Again, Sam, I really appreciate you as a pastor that you desire for the Lord to move in signs, wonders, and miracles. Because Katrina, I think some information that you sent me, I want to look over it again. Thank you for doing that. I don't know, was it T.L. Osborne? You can help me on this. You know, he recently passed away. So that if you don't know it, George Beverly Shea passed away real recent. So I don't know if it's T.L. Osborne, who's a man that I really respected very much. He was another one of those that felt discouraged in the ministry and had tried to be a missionary in India and failed. Came back to America so discouraged and, And he went to a William Branham meeting, and right there he saw tremendous miracles happening. And he, in desperation, he got alone with God, prayer and fasting. I don't know how long he fasted and prayed, but he was in such desperation, and the Lord did visit him. And see, a lot of these people that we could read about that God had used, and not everyone's going to be a T.L. Osborne or a Billy Graham and all that. There's people that just one-on-one, they're seeing people getting saved and healed. Not everybody is going to be this someone that is, you know, so well-known. And I don't want to project that tonight. I mean, there's, like I said, there are people on, just on one-on-one. There was this lady in Waco, Texas, years ago. Just one-on-one. She'd go around knocking on people's the doors and witnessing. And I was told she saw a lot of miracles taking place. Right now in the Philippines, there's one little shriveled up Filipino lady, Maria, and the Catholics, they really persecute her because she's born again. Oh, she joined that born again, they call it religion. And they persecute her. But you know what? When they get sick, they go to her for prayer. And they're getting healed. I mean, a whole bunch of them are getting healed. And I'm saying, Maria, keep it up. Keep doing it. Just a little, I don't know if she has any education at all in her life. Because there are those people, you know, where we had the church. Some of them never gone one day in school in life. Just a simple lady that believes God. And so, but you keep pressing in. Let that vision be before you. One-on-one. You meet someone out in the mall, the grocery store. You know, we say, how are you? And they say, oh, I don't feel so good. Whatever. Pray for them. Pray for them. Don't look at them and say, yeah, I know, I've been having this in my life. Or don't go to the hospital and someone is in there with cancer, you know, they're in real serious conditions. Say, yeah, you know, I have an uncle had the same cancer you had, and he died. No. No. Well, okay, let's just stand. There'll be tomorrow morning. Tomorrow night, is that 7, Pastor Sam? And we'll be hearing, sharing more testimonies. And when I was praying earlier, 3-4 months ago, whatever it was, I felt like the Lord quickened to me about the word believe. So I'm thinking Sunday night would be some about believe and more testimonies than what we shared tonight. And also to report about the recent trip to Costa Rica. We're really excited about Costa Rica, what God has done. He opened a door in a place that was only God could do it. So Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. Speaking to our hearts. Lord, I know that even as I was speaking, that you're speaking to me. I'm not just standing here just for me to speak to these people, but speaking to all of us, Lord. And thank you for your word that says that you work in us both to will and to do of your pleasure. And Lord, you know what you have for each and every one of us, that we don't have the same giftings, the same calling, that we cannot be like another person. You've not meant it to be like that. But Lord, we can also learn from other people and to be challenged by different testimonies. Father, thank you for the people that have gone on before and for people that are living even today, that these testimonies that challenge us to move on more with you. And Lord, that it's your love call and how you look upon the nations of the earth and upon America, and what is going on even in the government of our country with the leadership, and how there's been a departing of the things of God, and even in churches, Lord, some areas departing from that, Lord, which is so precious to you, so dear to your heart, and the power of the cross, and the area of signs, wonders, and miracles, and when, Lord, as I've heard different reports that not all, but some are saying that they don't hear about signs, wonders, and miracles in the church. No sharing about being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And Lord, those things that happened with the early church and in the day of Pentecost, Father. Lord, we're asking God that you would give us another day of Pentecost, Father. Another real visitation. Lord, not the obnoxious and wild Pentecost, but that really is truly from you. The fulfillment of Job's prophecy of that day of Pentecost, Lord, of the wind and the fire, Lord, that you would, that one wonderful prophet of God said that for God to send a fire and to burn out everything that is not of God until all that is left burning is just the fire of God himself. So, Father, send the fire of your Spirit to burn out the things that are not of you, to burn out the things of the world, just to burn it all out, O God, until there, Lord, there's that fire of your Spirit, the fire of love for you, the fire of love for the lost, the fire of love for the sick and the suffering and those that are tormented, just really reaching out, O God. Thank you, Father, for this church here, for Pastor Ben, O God. And Lord, as they desire to see these signs and wonders and miracles, and as they're pressing in these days before you, that you would give them those breakthroughs. And we thank you for doing it, dear Lord. In Jesus' precious name, and above all, may that you be glorified and none other. Thank you, Lord. Be glorified, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that your commandments are not grievous. That it's not something that's going to create a legalism and condemnation, Lord, but that of being so joyful. As your word says, let all those that seek thee rejoice. That we would have such a joyfulness just being in your presence, even if there's no answered prayer, just being with you. With you. Thank you, Father. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I meant to tell you two books. There's different books on prayer and fasting for me. And I have, I don't know how many books on fasting, prayer, intercession. There's this by A.A. Allen. You get it through, thank you, Ben. You get it through the R.W. Schoenbach Ministries. It's $10 and $3 for shipping. The title of it is The Price of God's Miracle Working Power. I have probably quite a few books. And for me, it's one of my really prized books. Then there's the other one. You may have heard the name of the man who read some of his books that I really like. It's John Piper. And that book is called Hunger for God Through Prayer and Fasting. I really enjoyed reading that. So I don't feel to necessarily pray for anyone in particular tonight, unless you can't come to any of the other meetings and want to be prayed for. We will pray for you. We don't want anyone to be left out. But let's, and thank you for praying for the meetings that we're having tomorrow morning. So God bless you, Pastor Ben, and invite other people.